Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All right, it is that time again. It is time for Go Yard, and we are glad to be with you. And I am Mama Mac, along with my charming co-host, who has more jewelry on today than I've ever seen on her before. Have you noticed that? I don't know what's going on with her, Bobby.
Oh, wow.
It rings on every single finger and every single toe. I do not know why. Anyway, this is Dr. Angel Falzoni, the amazing ringed person today. They're all beautiful, I will say that.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, Dr. Angel. How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
I am great. I'm great. We started a series last week, and we love these little series. This show format enables us to do series, and I think it's great because so often shows are just like about one thing right then, and then we can't really go in depth. And our goal here is to go into a lot of depth, isn't it?
Absolutely, because without the depth, we can't really give you those real practical tools.
That's exactly right.
So we do need to examine things a little more closely at times. And I do love that we can continue and get really into the nitty-gritty of an issue.
Oh, absolutely. 2.5 years we've been on the air on this show, Go Yard, which means hitting a home run in life. It's a life coaching. What's life coaching all about?
You know, life coaching is really about, we're living our life, we're on our journey, and we kind of hit bumps and get a little stopped on our way, and we're not quite sure how to get there. So it's kind of that thing that just gives us a map to help us do it better.
Yeah,
you know, we may still get to some of our destination, but that life coach is kind of your GPS, like in your car.
Exactly.
That's how I like to think of life coaching. You know, you might get somewhere, but you might take some turns and go out of your way, and this is kind of that GPS to help you do it better.
So, we're all about having a format where people can get, quote unquote, free counseling, too, right?
True, because we definitely hit a lot of life-relevant issues, and a lot of them are very mental health-based. And we can do that because we have a very strong mental health foundation here.
Well, you do, and I've been, my past is pastoring and counseling, but yours is actual licensed mental health counselor and PhD, which is fantastic. You are our resident expert, except for Bobby in there, and the engineer. He's an expert on all kinds of things.
Yes, he is.
Yes. So every once in a while, we hear from him.
Seldom, but yeah.
He was just like caught off guard. He didn't know he was an expert on anything. But anyway, he is.
We always appreciate him.
Yes. Thank you. We're glad you joined us. If you want to call in and put your 2 cents in or ask a question, you can do that tonight. We're live in the studio as we are most Thursday nights. Occasionally we're not, but we usually are here live. And that number is 727-441-3000. So give us a call. Or you can text. If you prefer to text and not be heard on the air, that's fine. That's how some people like it, to do it. The text number that I'm about to give you goes directly to my phone. So I check them periodically, and we'll read your text on the air and don't have to hear your voice if you don't want to do that. 727-888-4171. 727-888-4171. That's our Google text number for this show. So, we're excited about doing part 2 tonight of what? Me worry?
What? People worry?
What?
Really?
Do you ever worry, doctor?
We all, I think it's part of being human.
It is,
we
isn't
all
it?
Worry yeah. from time to time. And if somebody says they don't worry, I'm really going to
oh, come on. Yeah. Yeah.
Wonder.
Because it's a human thing. Now, you know, some people worry to the point that it really, really impairs their day.
It does, or impairs their life and their right. relationships. And so what we're really looking at, and we started last week, is looking at some of those habits that we might have
right.
that might suggest that we struggle with worry, anxiety, or just are overstressed.
Yes,
and
exactly.
They all kind of, they're all in the same family of issues right. right there. And sometimes we might be experiencing worry or stress or anxiety and not even realize it.
Right.
But some of our habits definitely are indicators. And so that's what we're looking at tonight, are those indicators of things that might mean we have worry.
Exactly. And so let's just kind of, can we kind of do a little reprise of last week, the main points? Because we made 7 or 8 points last week that were really
we
good.
Sure
and we have
did.
A whole lot more to do tonight.
We sure did. And we made 7 points last week. And I'm going to give a very quick recap here.
Please
so
do.
Habit one that may mean you worry is skipping meals. And that's not skipping meals intentionally. That would be skipping meals because you feel like you're too busy to eat or you can't take the time to eat. And eating increases our energy and boosts our mood. It reduces
it
our
does.
Stress and depression. So it's a really important thing that we are not unintentionally skipping meals.
That's right.
Multitasking can be an indicator we have worry. And that's
right.
multitasking without a purpose. When we have a purposeful list and we're working, we can handle multiple things at one time. The multitasking I'm talking about is when we don't have a priority list and we have in our brain like 7 or 8 of those computer windows going at the same time.
Right.
We're not able to complete a task. We're leaving things unfinished. We're missing deadlines and we're overwhelming ourselves.
Yeah. So that's a real indicator that, yeah, there's something wrong there. Your mind's going too many different directions, and the worry may be a big part of that.
Absolutely. Or you're just stressing yourself out because you're not able to be effective in your life. And
right.
so you're feeling very overwhelmed, which is stress and worry and anxiety all go in that. And just like our computers crash
yes.
when we have too many windows open, we do too. And that we crash because we'll get sick or we'll
oh,
you know,
yeah.
things happen to us that cause us to crash too.
Right.
And so that can be definitely a big indicator. Rushing in the morning.
Oh,
habit 3.
Yeah. Rushing in the morning. That's something that a lot of people do. Don't you think that that... And that, you're saying, really contributes to anxiety, or they are anxious and therefore they rush?
They do. They rush because they're not allowing enough time in the morning. And when we start our day off hectic and chaotic,
right,
it will be a hectic and chaotic day for the duration of the day. And so we're
right.
putting a lot of extra stress on us when we do that. And so sometimes we're doing it because we're not getting enough sleep. We're not getting quality sleep. We're hitting that snooze
yes.
too many times. And just doing things like preparing the night before, giving ourselves maybe an extra 10 minutes in the morning can make a huge difference on your day.
And don't you think some people rush like that because and hit snooze many times because they dread their day
coming
up? Yeah,
they're kind of avoiding the day. It's kind of an avoidant behavior. And
right.
so I'm going to challenge you, prepare the night before, lay out what you need, make sure it's ready to go. That
yes.
way you're not forgetting things that you might need throughout your day, which causes more worry and stress.
Exactly.
And so you're setting yourself up to be successful that
okay.
way.
Okay. Very good.
Habit 4, letting your mind wander aimlessly. Really bad habit, because when we let our mind wander, wander's
yes.
the problem.
Right.
And
yes.
we are thinking and worrying and stressing about things that we may not even have control over. And so we want to not let our minds have that aimless wander time.
Yes. Aimless
and
wander.
We don't.
Yeah.
So commute time is a really big time that when we're driving, that our mind may be going in a million miles, you know, and listening to the radio or to books or to music and things that help bring us in the present.
Right.
Is really important.
Really good. Okay. That's 4. What's 5?
5 is drinking too much coffee or caffeine drinks. So those
okay.
energy drinks people are drinking is in
right.
the same category. And caffeine is a stimulant. We know that.
Right.
It increases your breathing and your heart rate and all the physiological signs of stress and anxiety.
Right.
A little bit of caffeine can be good for us. Helps us with alertness and focus and concentration.
Exactly.
Too much of it overtaxes our body and causes us, our body, to be physiologically stressed.
Yes.
So limit and drink a lot of water, because caffeine is a diuretic and it
right.
drains us of our water. We need to stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated. Okay, what's another?
Number six. I'm really rolling through these.
You are rolling good here.
Staying inside all the time.
That's interesting. I didn't even, we talked about that last week. That surprised me.
It really is. And that is, and it's easy to happen, especially when you have an office-based job. It's hard, you don't get to go out and see the day. And it's learning to stop and take that 2 or 3 minute break, go out and see the sunshine.
Absolutely.
Breathe a couple breaths of fresh air and come back. Go outside on the weekends. You know, a lot of times people are, they call themselves homebodies. They don't want to go anywhere because they went all week to work and they're tired. But we're actually increasing our anxiety, and then we'll start developing fears or phobias or worries about leaving.
Yes.
And we don't want that. That's not healthy.
Okay. So these are all indicators that you might be suffering from some anxiety. So good ideas. Go ahead.
And the last one we talked about last week was not socializing. And that's just kind of that not returning phone calls, not wanting to join activities. We need to be able to talk to someone, and we should be able to be talking to someone else almost every day in some
capacity.
Absolutely.
It's good for you.
It's healthy for us. It's a support system. And so not socializing isolates us. It doesn't give us perspective. Other
right.
people help with perspective. And so when you don't feel like that phone call, maybe that's when you need to do it.
Yes, absolutely. So avoiding people. And, you know, yes, that can indicate some anxiety there. So it's good. People, you know, other people's perspective, their input, just their daily life helps a lot of times.
It really does. You know, and I you know for me personally, like, you know, when I'm feeling worried or stressed about something or something's bothering me, the first thing I'll do is find someone. Okay, let me bounce this off of you. Am I just being sensitive, or is this something to really, you know, be concerned about? Because
right.
I need that perspective first and foremost.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's what people do for us.
All right. So that was review, those first few things. Now let's go on to another habit that can indicate that we have a problem with anxiety and we need to really work on this. And this one, I like your outline here, Doctor. This one really hits it where it is for a lot of people.
This one is becoming more prevalent, I think, with each passing day. And this is spending too much time on social media.
Right. Yep. There you go.
No,
Bobby got that.
Have been multiple research studies conducted that tell us that social media increases stress and anxiety in
yes,
people.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, it does.
It really does. Even Bobby knows that. Yes.
And one of those reasons is it makes us start comparing our life to others.
Yes. Yes.
And then we feel like we're not measuring up, or we're not accomplishing enough, or our life just isn't as happy as someone else's.
And I think that's easy to happen on social media because a lot of people put fun events and things on, but it is the tendency, I think, of people that are depressed or anxious than to let that depress them even further, seeing other people doing things.
And they really, you know, one of the research, I was reading through some of this research, and one of them studied people who have high school friends
okay.
on their Facebook, and they're, you know, older and been out of high school for quite some time, and then they start seeing their accomplishments, and then they measure their life.
Wow.
I went to school with these people, and look at them, you know, they're doing this, or they're this successful, and it makes us feel stressed about our own success,
yes.
depressed, worried, and it holds us in that trap.
Right. So it's just a good thing to be aware that could be a pitfall of spending too much time on social media, Facebook, and et cetera.
How much time do you spend on
right.
social media? One of the things we really want to do is, it's a time waster. Let's
yes,
face it. When you're
yes.
on social media, you are not accomplishing much.
Right.
And a lot of times we will do that and avoid it of the things we have to do.
Yes.
And so then we
yeah.
get behind, which causes more stress and worry
right.
and anxiety. And so it is a big time waster. Not that we don't need time wasters. We do. Sometimes our brain
sometimes
needs time
it's just
wasters.
Important to have downtime, right, and relax time. But maybe it's a good thing to look at how it's affecting you. Let's say you're on there an hour or an hour and a half. How is that affecting you?
What's your mood like when you get off?
Yeah, what's your mood? Are you cranky? Are you upset? Are you...
Is it making you angry,
mm-hmm,
frustrated,
jealous?
Right. Like, those are really good ways to examine how it's affecting mm-hmm. you, because it typically has some negative impact when we spend too much time. And so
okay.
we really just want to limit that time, make sure that we're using our social media time when we have accomplished what we need
right.
to for the day, so that we're not avoiding our responsibilities. That's really important. Only go on social media when everything's done.
Right.
Keep it limited. And remember, people typically post the best of the best.
Right. And remember, yeah, and it's not meant to be a comparison thing.
It is not a comparison.
It's meant to be an informational, here's what we did this weekend or something.
Stay in contact with.
Stay in contact, yeah. But I can see how people that are struggling from anxiety could have a hard time with seeing people out doing things, especially if they're not doing that.
Especially like people who have closed themselves off from leaving their home and they want to go out, but now they've built up kind of that worry about going out.
Right.
And then they see all these people, you know, on the beach or at the fair or at a concert or at the hockey game, and it tends to amplify that for them.
And it's not that we are saying people shouldn't do all that and put it on there.
No.
Because that's fun, and it's fun for those that you're trying to stay in contact with, especially family and friends. But just be aware, if you're one of these that's battling anxiety, it might be a hard thing for you.
And really, we can all benefit from limiting it, because we do spend way too much time in the social media realm.
Right.
And so just start limiting that, making sure we're doing our responsibilities first so that we're not falling further behind.
Right.
And watch our moods when we
don't come you off. Think there are a lot of people, maybe younger people, that use that as an excuse? I don't have time to help you with the cleaning the house, or I don't have time to do my chores. And I know with you and teenage boys, you've really got a handle on that pretty well with the boys, don't you?
I do. I limited social media big time with my children. First of all, I didn't let them get on until they started high school.
Okay. That's good, because I think it's too young for a lot of people now.
Definitely for our adolescents, they can be bullied on it. Like, there's a lot of negative stuff that happens on social media. Second rule was I never let their devices in their room at night for it to charge. That way they were not tempted
to spend the night
on private messenger on social medias.
That's excellent.
I made them charge their phones in another room, which every phone was in another room, so that it wasn't
theirs.
And I limited it. You know, there were times their phone shut off, they could not access school nights. It was an earlier time. Weekends, they had extra time. So limiting it even for our children is really important, because they're doing the same thing.
Right.
And they're comparing themselves and their families and their
situations. And we've all heard about these stories of high school kids that get bullied, and the parents don't even know that they're being bullied on social media, and then somebody commits suicide or whatever. Horrible, horrible stories.
It happens.
It does happen.
So often. I have so many patients with social media bullying.
Really?
Just had a patient try to commit suicide on Facebook Live.
Oh, my gosh.
It's real, and it's a big problem for our adolescents because, you know, jurisdictional issues come into play, and legalities come into play, and when you're outed on social media for something, all your friends and their friends are like, how many people know this information, true or untrue?
Right.
So someone may have taken a picture and imposed nudity on your body and are posting parts of that, and people think it's you, and now you're going to school and you're getting bullied. And so we need to protect our kids too.
Absolutely. So parents, this is just kind of a
side note.
Yeah, side note. But if you are seeing some of these things going on in your kids, there could very well be a lot of anxiety going on, and possibly social media is one of the problems that's causing it.
Absolutely. And a lot of people in our younger generation, the millennials, they kind of feel like social media is their social interaction.
I know. Isn't
that terrible quality?
It is a terrible quality. And I'm seeing that now with some of my grandkids that are teenage and young adult age, that they are so involved with the social media that, you know, the relationships are taking a back seat to that.
They are. And you'll even see now some of the older generation, you know, husband and wife, you know, or partners or whatever, and they're sitting on their couches, each on their own. So we're not talking as much.
No, that's just
put it down. Have that conversation. It'll do you so much good.
Yes. Yeah, it really will. So let's go on and talk about not sleeping. Let's talk about that.
Sleep is really huge. And a huge sign, if you're not sleeping well, that stress, anxiety, and worry is something you could definitely be struggling with.
Absolutely.
I always tell, first of all, if you're having difficulty with sleep, the first thing I'm always going to do is refer you to your doctor to make sure you don't have a medical issue with sleep.
Have you noticed, doctor, then that's absolutely the best thing to do. This sleep apnea stuff is extremely common now.
It is.
I mean, years ago, we didn't even know about that, and people...
We didn't, and now we do, and we can do sleep studies, and we can see sleep patterns, and that's really important, because there are physiological, biological, medical issues that can impact our sleep.
Exactly.
So we needed to rule those out first.
Right.
Always. But lack of sleep can lead to full-blown anxiety disorders in someone who is already prone to worry and stress, according to research. And that comes from the Journal of Neuroscience. So
right.
There is a ton of research. Go to Google Academics, I think it is, and you can find really good peer-reviewed journal articles when just talking about sleep. There's so much that can happen. In fact, some research tells you lack of sleep is worse than being drunk and driving.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the way what it does to our brain.
Right.
Our brain recovers when we sleep. When we lose that, our brain is not recovering.
Right.
And then we're adding on to it. So we're overtaxing it. So having bad sleep habits is really
could be a lot of guilt
for people right now.
Right. And it could be one of the reasons that the anxiety level in our some of our audience is higher than it needs to be, is because of lack of sleep.
A lot of people, when I talk and I tell them, well, what's your sleep habit? And they look at me like I have 14 heads because they're like,
right.
What do you mean? I got a bed, whatever. And I'm like, no, that's a bad sleep habit. You know, we need bad sleep habits. Going to bed late. Waking up early.
How do you define late, Dr. Angel?
But that's subjective, depending on when you need to wake up.
Right.
And I always suggest adults still need 8 to 9 hours of good sleep every night. And so if you know you have to be up at a certain time, you count backwards and go to bed. And
figure it out. Yeah.
You know, so sticking to regular bedtimes,
I think that's really important. I try to do that. And my dogs always want to go to bed earlier than I do anyway. So that's always good.
I want to go to bed earlier than my son. And it is hilarious. I am an early to bed person because my body just needs it. And, you know, on the weekends when you want to stay up a little late, oh, it's like 9 o'clock. I'm like, can we please go to bed?
Exactly.
But that's my body's in that habit.
Right. Exactly.
And that's a good thing. So having a bedtime and trying to really stick to it is super important. Not just for our kids. Our teenagers still need that.
Oh, absolutely.
And us as adults need that.
Don't you think teenagers need more sleep? I mean, they seem to crave it, you know?
Well, that's when their body grows.
Yeah,
so true. I'm seeing a lot of undergrown children that are underdeveloped.
Seriously.
And it's because they have terrible... When I start going through their histories, sleep is one of their... They're not getting enough of it. Their body can't grow. We grow when we sleep as children.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I learned something tonight, Bobby. I learned something. Okay. I didn't know that's when we grow or when the kids grow. Wow. Okay. So go ahead with that. And so how can we get into a regular routine if our audience is not in that?
Well, first we want to plan for that bedtime. We want to plan for our wake-up time. So we plan our bedtime based on our wake-up time so that we're getting in our body in a ritual. It's going to take a while. It takes 21 days to make a habit.
Sure.
So give yourself time and patience. But really try. Set an alarm. I set that 30 minutes before bed so you can kind of get your stuff done and then be in bed when you need to be in bed. It'll help you with better health. Reduce your caffeine.
Right.
Don't have it in the afternoon. Alcohol, reduce your alcohol. That affects sleep negatively. A lot of people are like, oh, well, a drink before bed makes me relax and go to sleep. Yeah. But you'll wake up in about 2 hours because it's that sleep that doesn't keep you asleep.
That's right.
Try not to eat those late night snacks because it's really bad. Get off of your electronics.
Yes. Yes.
Your mind needs about 2 hours of not being on electronics to start letting it go.
I agree with that. I try my best not to look at it.
So we don't want to, you know, be on the computer and check an email right before bed. We don't want to have the TV on all night. Those things impact our sleep and for our kids, for us. And so finding things that help us relax, taking that nice hot shower before bed. Or that bath or reading the newspaper, reading a book, things like that. Bring our body back down.
Mm-hmm.
And exercise during the day will help improve our quality of sleep.
Oh, my gosh. I notice a difference when I'm walking the dogs regularly and getting out and doing that, doing the walking, and when I'm not. I sleep better. The dogs sleep better. Everybody sleeps better when we're out walking.
Absolutely. Exercise is totally proven to help us sleep.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, a lot of great things we can do. And if you're the person that tends to worry and have a lot on your mind, start writing it down and getting it off your mind before you go to bed.
That could be your bed ritual. Yeah.
Dump your mind. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Make those lists before you go to bed so you're not laying there thinking about all that stuff. Let's go to break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You can call a friend and say, hey, why don't you listen to this show with me right now?
A little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy, don't worry. worry, be happy now. Don't worry.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Dr. Angel always gets here before I do, it seems like, and she and Bobby pick our songs. And those are great songs. I love both of them. We could have just sat here and listened to them for a while. It's really
good. They're so uplifting.
Aren't they? They are, both of them, really. And isn't that part of music that helps us when we're anxious? Mm-hmm. I know that's not on your list here, but I mean, doesn't music really help you?
It does, and it is on the list because it keeps our mind from wandering.
Ah, it is on the list. Okay. It does keep our mind does keep our mind from wandering. Yes, like you said, when you're driving or...
And so instead of feeding into the worry, you're feeding something positive in.
Exactly.
You're giving your mind something else to think about.
Right, and those songs really do that we just played. And you are joining us tonight on Go Yard, and I'm Mama Mac along with Dr. Angel. And that was my real estate ad there. And it's like 25, almost 26 years of real estate now. That's... And Megan up in Indiana, a good friend of ours, has her Plexus business and doing real well with that. So, that's why our ads are on there. And we want to remind you that every Saturday and Sunday, you can listen to the show at 12 noon Eastern on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And right after our show, Bobby gets it up on podcast here. And by tonight or tomorrow, you can listen to the show again, tell a friend. And you can go to TanTalkNetwork.com and go to podcasts and then go to Go Yard. And you can find a lot of shows there. Plus, the end of every month, our webmaster, Dan, goes in and takes all of our shows from the month and puts them on our website, which is goyard2014.org. It's an O-R-G. So we invite you to use our website, use the podcast here. Why would they want to do that? Why would they want to hear one of these shows again?
Why would you want to do that?
Why would you want to?
Well,
yes.
You know what? Our shows come. They're great topics. It may not relate to you. It may not be where you are in the moment.
Right.
And, you know, we don't kind of categorize things when they're not important to us in the very moment. But life happens, and it may become important to you. So it's a great resource to go back when you're dealing with that issue and to have some tools to help you get through it.
And we do hear from people who say they do that very thing. So we do have titles on our shows. So that will help you when you go to our website. They're not titles on the podcast here, but there are on our website, goyard2014.org.
Can help you narrow it down a little bit to what you're needing in the moment.
So absolutely.
There in the moment.
So we're talking part two here of habits that cause you to think you may be battling some anxiety. And we're doing that because we want to help people not be so anxious.
Absolutely.
And not worry so much.
It holds us back. We're not living Go Yard when we're stuck in worry, stress, anxiety, and all those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go to the next one. I think this is number
10. I numbered them last week. I cheated.
You numbered them.
Leaving our house messy is number 10.
Oh, okay.
Clutter can stress us out and make us feel more anxious. Clutter makes us less productive as we waste precious time looking for our items that we need.
Oh my gosh. I love a clean, orderly house, but I know lots of people who don't feel the same way as I do about that.
Well, I hear you. And there are a lot of people who would like it to be at least at somewhat order. Yeah. We all have different standards of order, and it's just total clutter mess. And so when we're not talking, you know, June Cleaver's spick and span here, but we are talking having things, having a place, having somewhat of an organization system, you know, making sure that the constants are done, the dishes are washed, you know, things are, laundry's not piling up, because those are things that really stress us out. And so making plans to when you might be able to set chunks of time. Like in my house, I have a laundry day that this is when I'm doing the laundry. Right. Every child is assigned his laundry day.
Right.
That they, so there's no crisscross in the washer, and it helps us be more productive.
Yeah, that's good.
Having little things to help organize yourself. Like I have a key rack right by my door. When I come in, the keys go in there. I don't have to search the house for keys.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, that helps so much because I talk to people. They go, I lost my keys. How do you do that? How do you lose your keys?
How many people are late for appointments because they lost their keys?
Do you lose your keys, Bobby?
No, I don't. I have a nice little pile with phone and wallet and things that need to go.
Right.
In the car with me.
Very good. And that's
one of them starts it. So yeah.
That's right. And that's a great way to do it. A lot of people have one of those little whatever that container is that holds all that. Great idea. It's a waste of time when people are so scatterbrained, quote unquote, mm-hmm. or scattered, not scatterbrained, but scattered, that keys are just thrown here or there, or a kid picks them up and carries them around the house or whatever.
Well, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, that whole multitasking and having all those, you know, windows open in our brain. And this is part of that because this is the windows open in the house and we have too many things out of place.
Right.
We're more stressed. We're so less productive. You're right. We're spending so much time looking for stuff. We keep things we don't need.
Right.
It's a great, this is spring, great time to declutter.
It's time. We need to have a show on that, decluttering.
We do. And if
hoarding.
You haven't used
hoarding.
It.
Let's have a hoarding show.
If you haven't used it in a year, maybe mm-hmm. we need to store it or not have it.
That's right.
Use some of those little, you can buy those storage bins so cheap at the Walmart.
Right.
And put things in a category, like I have a travel bin. So when I need to travel, I get all my little soaps and I pull them out and I know where they're at
all the
time.
I do too.
I have bins for things and they go into closets and I make a little label.
And it's easy to pack and get out the door.
It is, because I know where everything is, where
I
need it to be. And so having our house decluttered, having places for things, making our bed, washing our dishes, those things really reduce anxiety a ton.
Absolutely. All of these are good ideas.
No matter how bad your day is, when you come home to a made bed, it's just something so relaxing about it.
One of my grandsons was visiting a few weeks back, and he went and put his dishes in the sink. And I walked by, and I saw him, and I said, come on, you know better than that. He goes, what do you mean? I said, just rinse it off, put it in the dishwasher. Oh, I forgot. That's what you want. And, you know, I don't want to look at them when they can be sitting in the dishwasher dirty. That's fine. But if they're rinsed off, you know, I don't like looking at dirty dishes in the sink.
There you go. And so we need to kind of close some of those windows in our house.
There you go.
By having places for things that work for us. So, like,
exactly.
I have a charging place in my office that all my devices charge in there every night. So I'm not, where's my phone? Where's my headpiece? Where's my work phone? Where's, they're all right there.
And I do the same. And I think it's an excellent way to stay less frustrated. Got a call?
Well, we have a quote from our quote caller, Victor
right.
again.
Quote caller, yeah.
Yes, Victor says, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it won't take you anywhere.
Oh, I like that.
I really like that, Victor. Thank you
so much. Wonder who said that, Victor. Was that Victor that said that?
Well, he said that, but I'm sure he got it somewhere else. But number two, at the end of the day, you ask yourself, did I ponder or did I do?
Oh, that's very good. Thank you.
I mean, that's true. You know,
and very well read by you, Bobby.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
But when we do, we spend too much time thinking about things.
Yes, yes.
We're not doing them.
Right.
And then we're getting further behind and we have more things to think about and not do.
You know, they say, and I'll just throw this in here, that when you go through a stack of mail, you should only do that once.
Right.
It should be something that you either throw in the trash or something that you do something with and it goes, but you shouldn't be looking at that same piece of mail or whatever it is, over and over again, right? You should do something with it.
Absolutely, and have some kind of system.
Yes.
Totally have whatever works for you and your lifestyle. But just keep it consistent, and it right. will save you so much stress
right.
in your life. And so messy house, no good. Close those windows of the house by getting some things in order.
Right. We're
not talking, you know, the old-fashioned TV show clean, but orderly at least.
And speaking of mail, I've known people, because I'm a realtor, I've been in houses, a lot of houses, that you can see people with a stack of mail that maybe is a foot tall.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Newspapers, mail, junk mail, whatever. And I always think, and it's not something I say if I'm going to list their house, but unless they ask me. But, I mean, how easy it is to do it every day. Just throw the junk away and deal with what you have to deal with and not let it accumulate like that on the table.
Or if you're going to let it accumulate, have a place and right. have a time that you deal with it. You know, mm-hmm. I have a system when we bring in the mail, the garbage goes right to the garbage. The rest of it goes in a pile. And when I pay bills, every Friday I pay bills, I go through that stack and deal with what needs to be dealt with.
These are all good ideas.
If you're not reading the newspaper, quit ordering it.
Exactly.
If you're not reading a magazine, unsubscribe.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need extra stuff. We need to deal with what we have.
I tell you, I have been in so many houses where I went to talk to them about listing their house where there was no place for my notebook, my paper, whatever on the dining room table. It was just full of stuff, plates and mail. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened.
And it's so easy because you're coming in and you're in a hurry, you have your hands full of stuff, you just
throw
it down and
right.
keep going. And you're right. We do need to.
So you're saying here that these are habits that cause anxiety for us. We may not even realize. We say, well, I just always done it that way. Yeah, but no. Yeah, but no. Right?
Yeah, but no. You know, I'm going to probably get this quote wrong, but if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be what you've always been. Let's do it different.
There you go. You got it.
So I did get it, and I didn't
twist
it up.
You got it right. Okay. There you go. all right. And just getting rid of things you don't use and all of that, yard sales,
whatever.
Have
the yard sale. Get some storage totes. Put some things that are common categories that you're not using every day. Put them in a closet.
Right.
You know, it'll just make your life feel so much
better. It does.
Better.
It does. All right. We're going on to number 11. Some habits that may cause anxiety or may indicate that you have anxiety.
Oh, when you decline invites. Although you want to go or you say you'll go, you don't go.
And you think that's due to anxiety a lot of times, fear?
Oh, a lot of times that's some kind of anxiety. Maybe it's a lack of energy because you've multitasked for no purpose for a whole week and you're just exhausted. And, you know, it could be a lot of things, but it's definitely an indication that you have too much stress.
Right.
Or you have really bad boundaries and can't say no when you need to say no. But when you want to go and you say you're going to go and you don't show up, you're disappointing that person.
Right.
You're hurting that relationship. They've learned they can't count on you.
Yeah.
They learn you're not really, your word doesn't mean much. You know, sometimes people don't want to, I don't want to be a burden because I, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or I mean,
if you're genuinely sick, that's a whole nother story.
But that's infrequent. And we're talking about when it happens over
as a habit.
And over and
right.
over again.
Right.
You know, there's just notorious people that I know when I invite.
Oh, me too.
They're not coming, even though they say they are. Or if they are coming, it's 2 hours late.
Right. Exactly.
I just quit inviting them.
Right. Yeah.
Because as the person giving that, when you tell me you're coming, I'm counting on it unless there's a real issue.
People appreciate promptness. I was at a home inspection yesterday and my buyer said, I've noticed something about you. And I thought, okay, what's this? You know, and she said, you're always a little early or right on time. And I said, thank you for noticing, because that's an important quality to me. Important that I stay on the schedule. And I said, have you noticed that if I am behind a big mess on traffic, I'll call you and tell you, because then you know what to expect. But if you're not, you're sitting there like, wonder where she is, you know?
Well, it shows respect and value.
It does.
Of other people, their time, that relationship. And so when we say we're going to do something or say we're going to an event and we don't show up or we don't come and it's happening all the time, we're giving that message that I don't care. You're
right.
not important.
Right.
You're talking about a lot of hurt feelings. So do what you say and say what you're going to do. If you're going to commit, then make it a priority to be there and on time.
And we're not talking about the person who just gets sick or is chronically ill or something
or
like that.
Or couldn't find a babysitter at the last moment.
Those things happen. We're talking about somebody who this is the way they behave all the time. And so their friends, their relatives begin to expect that they're always going to be 2 or 3 hours late, or they're not going to show up and then later say, oh, I forgot, or you know, some excuse like that. It's just
absolutely, you know, it was I was almost posted a meme on Facebook. There's a person in my life that I would make plans with, and every time we made a plan to do something and confirm the plan, last minute something came up, and like out of the last 10 out of 10 instances, they all canceled. And I just want to say the only thing I can count on is that I can't count on the plan.
That's right.
And that's a very frustrating place to be, you know, and it hurts relationships. So if we commit, then let's really make an effort to do it. And if we really can't or don't want to, then don't say you're going to do it.
Then don't do it. Just say, no, I can't, you know. I used to say this about somebody in my life. The consistent put thing about this person was their inconsistency.
Happens.
And so, you know, and that's really, you know, people begin to expect that out of you. So if you're one of these that are always promising to do something, but you can't, you just don't for whatever reason, take a look at that. You may have some anxiety.
That's definitely an indication of anxiety. And a lot of times it's a social anxiety under that.
Yeah.
Number 12.
Here we go.
When we start obsessing over trivial things that even other people probably don't notice.
Like?
Oh, a conversation.
Okay.
Maybe a look from somebody, and then, or maybe somebody didn't hear you say hello and they walked by. Oh my gosh, are they mad at me? Or do they not like me? And they're thinking about it all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was hilarious. I had someone sitting in my office yesterday, and they were working in my office, and I was working, doing my thing, and they were making comments out loud, but I wasn't paying any mind to them because I was focused on what I was doing.
Sure.
And they would make a comment and be like, oh my gosh, are you mad at me for saying that? And I looked at the person, I'm like, I'm not even paying attention to what you're saying. But, you know, then I get a text message later. Are you sure you weren't mad? I'm like, I'm not upset about that. But those are the kind of people that are thinking and obsessing about the looks,
and
the comments.
That really is an indicator of anxiety.
Absolutely.
That they are preoccupied with how they're coming across, what you're thinking. And like you just said, you weren't even noticing what was going on there.
No.
That is a self-preoccupation, don't you think? And it's
very much so.
And it can be
it's a huge sign of anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety.
You know, sometimes somebody just, they don't hear you when you say hi. You know, if I have something going on in my mind and I am really focused, I can walk by and someone could say hi and I just keep walking. I'm not being mean or ignoring. I just didn't hear it or didn't know it was directed at me.
Right.
But other people could be very offended and sit and brood. And then all of a sudden, days later, I'm getting, you know, strings of messages. Were you mad? Is that why you didn't say hi? No, I was not upset with you.
Right.
If I'm upset, I'm going to tell you I'm upset. So we got to learn to communicate and not sit and brood on it.
And we need to communicate honestly and not say, yeah, I'm fine. If you're not fine,
tell them.
Then be strong enough, biblically, if you have an offense with someone that you have a problem, go to them. You be the one that goes to them and says, hey, let's talk about this. I feel this, right?
Absolutely.
And really, it's great advice, not just Bible advice, but it's great advice for human relationships that if you feel something sincerely, talk about it. But so often people brood about it tell 50 friends of their closest friends.
And 50 of their closest friends, and they're obsessing about it. Everything is not about you.
Right.
Don't make it about you.
Right.
Sometimes people just are busy, or they get caught up in a moment, or a look has nothing to do with you. Maybe, you know, a thought crossed their mind, or a text message came across, and they had a weird look on their face. And we have to stop thinking it's all about us.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a term for that I can't even grasp. I know it's right there on the tip of my tongue. But when people are so self-absorbed that they do think that everybody is reacting to them, when, like you're saying and describing,
and
it may not be at all.
People aren't paying hardly any attention, are even aware of that situation.
I know the phrase, wearing your feelings on your sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, that old phrase?
Yes.
You want to expand on that?
Well, that's where you kind of take everything personal that happens around you.
Take it all
personal. And it really isn't meant to be that way. People are not that calculated.
Yeah.
And generally, we have a lot of things going through our mind at one time, and we're trying to do things. And so be open with your communication.
Right.
But don't let yourself get stuck in that obsessing about that look or that word. Go to the person, clarify it, and move on.
Yeah, and move on. Let's go to the next one and move on.
We're going to the next one. Thinking of worst case scenarios. This is a big one because a lot of people do this. So anytime there's an issue or a problem or a conflict, the whole world is doom and gloom. It's all coming to an end. The world, you know, it's just going to not turn tomorrow morning. I can just tell. they think in the terribles or the negatives. And those are people with anxiety and worry and stress because they're doom and gloomers.
Oh, yeah. There was a commercial on last night, I think I saw, and this man looks so sick. And he's, you know, he's in bed and he's sneezing and all this. And it said the definition of a man's cold. A man's flu is just a cold. I mean, they call it flu, but it's just a cold, you know.
I hear
Sorry, Bobby, about that. But, you know, whether it's a man or anybody can be like that, that they overreact is my point. I didn't get the commercial right, but you know what I'm saying.
I cannot tell you how many people that I've had to, like, ban them from WebMD because they
have an allergy, and
now they have some kind of brain cancer happening.
Right.
Like, that's worst case thinking, really.
That really is worst case thinking. And yes, we have the internet that, you know, can be beneficial and it can also
it can be
detrimental.
It's kind of, in a weird way, comical at times. There was a patient that walked in our office and she had herself diagnosed with her own mental health diagnoses that didn't even exist.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, this is not even a real diagnosis. I don't know where you got this. It was Wikipedia, by the way, which is totally not a reliable source.
Right.
And trying to convince her that there was no such diagnosis is an impossible feat. So she just
But she was convinced that she had it. But some people are looking for something like that. They're looking for something they can hang their hat on. Oh, no, I just got this, you know, or I just got this diagnosis and... You know.
Absolutely. You know, it's so funny because our attitude and how our perspective is really is important to how we get through life and how we see things.
That's right.
When we see them negative happens.
Right.
And so you can see people with that, you know, little cold and they've blown it up to like they're going to need, you know, 4 years of chemo or something. And
right.
then you have people who really have cancer
yes.
and they have the highest countenance and the smile on their face. And like, you know what? Today's a good day. And I'm just going to go with that.
Shows the character there.
It's the whole. And that's important because stress comes with doom and gloom.
Right.
Deal with facts, not with feelings.
Right.
We did a whole facts and feelings
yes.
part on a show not that long ago.
Right.
But we have to deal with facts.
Yes. Deal with facts. So if you're thinking always in worst case scenario, you better take a look at that. You might have anxiety.
Oh, absolutely. You do. Now, that's
not
a might. That's
you
anxiety.
You do. All right.
We kind of talked about rewinding conversations. That's that whole brooding on something. When you believe, sometimes you believe you're to blame if somebody doesn't reply to you right away. Oh they must
yeah.
be mad at me. Well, you know.
Well, in instant communications on phones, I'm going to tell you, that's an easy pitfall to run into.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Especially with me in real estate because I try my best to respond right away. So I expect that on the other end, but it doesn't always happen that way from the other person, the other realtor or the other client or whatever. And so, yeah, it can make you like, wonder why they aren't responding. Did they not like that idea or, you know what I mean?
Oh, it can make us feel a little self-conscious. You're right, because people are glued to their phones, like totally. I know for me, my phone is not my leash. I have I have two phones, personal and work.
So you have one for each hand.
I do, but I only look at my text certain times throughout the day. And it's
uh-huh.
a scheduled time uh-huh. so I can deal with issues and be productive. So it may, if you've texted me at 12:05 and I've already looked at them at noon, you're going to wait till 4 o'clock before I'm going to see that.
Okay.
And so it's a hard habit to get people to train because they do take it personally when I don't reply immediately.
And in some cases like that, that's fine. But like in real estate, there was a thing going around, a habit a few years back where you'd call a realtor to show a house and they'd say, I check my messages at 12 noon and at 7 p.m. And otherwise, that's only... Okay, you're standing in front of a house and you're ready to look, you know. You can't conduct business like that. And it was a pet peeve of mine for a while. I'd get one of those messages from a realtor and just go, fine, I'm not showing this house. Because I'm not going to deal with somebody that you have to wait 8 hours to get a return call from. So it depends on circumstances.
It does depend on circumstances. And I do, during work hours, I am on the work phone and I answer more diligently.
Right.
And my personal phone goes to the side.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes people are just busy. It's
sure.
okay.
Right. What's another one?
When you don't want to talk or think about your future.
Wow.
People who avoid the future, a lot of times it's because they're stressing or worrying or have anxiety.
Okay.
And so if you're struggling to think about your future, what 5 years down the road might look like or 10 years down the road might look like, there's probably some anxiety and stress under there. And so it's something to look at. It's a little indicator there.
Okay. We talked about time for two more.
I know. We do. And we already kind of talked about this one when we compare our success or lack of success success against others. We do it with social media.
Yes.
But we do it in the person to person, you know, with colleagues or people at different jobs or our friends in the here and now.
And some people have a hard time being happy for somebody else's success.
You know, they really do.
And that is a sign of shallowness. And don't you think?
Absolutely.
Jealousy, envy.
A lot of jealousy.
And
in
when
that.
I see that in a colleague or somebody, being in real estate back when we used to have like little awards, banquets, and things like that, it was interesting to me, the people that had a hard time being happy for people that were big producers, whatever.
It is sometimes very challenging for people to genuinely to be happy for success on someone else. And I don't understand that because I don't struggle with it, but I do see it. And,
I do too.
But we cannot, only person you can compare you to is you.
There you go.
Where am I today? Where was I yesterday? Am I doing better? If I am, you're on the right trajectory, you know? And beating ourselves up over mistakes, that's a worry and anxiety issue. We're creating more stress for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Yes.
We are human.
Cut yourself some slack, audience.
You know what? This is how we learn. We learn when we can reflect on our experiences, and that includes our mistakes.
That's exactly right. So this has been two shows of habits that may indicate that you're battling anxiety. And again, we did this to help you be more aware and live a better quality of life. So we got a couple minutes. Doctor, you want to sum up what you think maybe just in general, how people can really get a handle on this if they've identified some things through these shows that have been a problem?
You know, general, just kind of going over the top, you know, make sure you're taking care of yourself. You're getting your sleep. You're getting your meals. Make sure you're planning plenty of time to do the things you need to do. Sleep, leave, planning before the night before, things to help you prepare. Work off to-do lists or checklists. Be prioritized in what you're doing. Get rid of the clutter, take care of your household and make sure that you can find what you need to find and things are in order. And communicate in your relationships.
Yes. Don't just assume people are thinking this or that. We don't ever assume that Bobby's like upset with us sitting in there listening or anything. We just look at him and see how cute he is. So anyway, we hope that this two-part series has helped you. Habits that may indicate you're battling anxiety. And if so, take a look at those things. And maybe it's time to make a few changes. Take a look at what you can do differently and how you can approach some of your daily activities. And yeah, I really like that thing about decluttering and getting refocused. You know, I think that's extremely important to battle anxiety.
Spring clean our life.
There you go. We might have a show on that soon. So as always, we are so glad you listened to Go Yard. And we ask you, please invite friends to listen to this show. 2.5 years into it. We love doing it. We hope you love listening. And send your questions to goyard2014@gmail.com because your questions are always quite lengthy. So send them in. We'll have another Q&A show sometime soon. So goyard2014@gmail.com and website goyard2014.org. And listen to us at noon this Saturday and Sunday on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Did I get it all? And Facebook.
You did. And Facebook.
Go Yard 1340.
1340. I don't even know it. Come like us.
Exactly. This has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac bringing you Go Yard. See you next week, gang. Have a great week.
Good night.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.